Welcome to part four and our conclusion of our series, It Is Written. Before we get into this, let me just highlight one thing again on that Crosspoint News, and that is our small groups. I just am overwhelmed by the things I'm hearing that are happening in the context of small groups. That's huge for our church. I just want to make sure we're always underlining this, and that is that we are just not a church with small groups. We are a church of small groups because we believe around here that life change happens in the context of relationships. And so we have curriculum-based groups, but the curriculums are just an excuse. It's important, but it's really the greater thing is that we hope that you get into a relationship where you can get real with somebody and break it down. And, you know, here you get to hear me all day long, right? And so, but in a small group, you get a voice and you get to ask questions and talk and input and dialogue and just get real with one another. And so I just want to encourage you to jump in and be a part of our small group curriculum that's happening this semester. And if you need to know more about that, see this guy that played the mean guitar up here. One of the guys that played the mean guitar. A couple of guys up here playing the mean guitar. But Pastor Steve Guptill, and he'll tell you more about that. And you can go online also and look up those and call the leaders, talk to them, have discussions. And if you check out one and go, well, that group's kind of weird, then you go find you another group, you know. But just, or we could help you start a group. So my vision would be we have more in small groups than we do in our church. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because that means that we're just reaching other people, connecting with the life message of Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you with that. I want to jump right into this message today because I've got a lot to share with you, and I'm going to do it in a very, try to do it in a very timely manner and but I want to make it as clear as possible because I think this is one that's really going to help you in many ways. I want to start where we ended up last week. And so if you want to pull out from your worship guide there, the message notes, you can follow along. There's some fill in the blanks there, and we'll have it on the screen for you as we go through. But let's begin with that first verse that's there in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, and so it's one thing to get it, it's another thing to hold on to it. So we did, at the beginning of this year, we focused on decisions that we need to make. You can go back and check that out, any of that series, if you'd like, in our archives on our website and listen to that. There's also message notes there as well that you can download. But we emphasized our decisions at the beginning of this year. And one of those things that we did along with that was we did a prayer and fasting for 21 days, just trying to create a new habit, hoping it just doesn't end on day 21 but continues on to day 22. They say it takes 21 days to create a new habit. But it's one thing to kind of start getting it that going, but it's another thing to keep that going and keep that happening in our life. So he says that, but if you hold to my teachings, then you're going to be my disciples. So when you really get that in you, you become my disciples. And with that, there's a promise, and that is if we do, a miracle takes place, and that is that you will know the truth. And look what happens. The truth is going to set you free. So think about that area that's challenging to you when you get the truth of God's word in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your job, in your emotions, in your life. It's going to change everything. And so you say, well, I want to change. I want to grow. Well, how do you do that? Well, this is the process. Hold on to his teachings and begin to know his truth and begin to apply it. Now that word know there is not just the word know like head knowledge, but it's the word gnosko in the Greek, which means to hang on intimately. So now it's not just something in your head, but now it's dropping down into your heart. And so it's a heart issue, and it begins to change. Something on the inside begins to change as you go through this process. So I mean, holding on to things can be very difficult at times, to hold on to things. Like at the beginning of the year, we make New Year's resolutions. And how many of you have already broken your New Year's resolutions? Like, beginning of the year, I like to think about losing weight, and it helps with that 21 days of fasting, you know, and that you lose the weight. But then you find out that you might lose it, but it's really not hard to find it again. You know what I'm saying? Picked up a couple of pounds yesterday. It was there waiting for me, you know. Said, hello, I'm still here, and we got reacquainted, a lot of fun, you know. So, you know, there's a challenge there, and there's two things that you really need to hold on to as we think about things to hold on to. Number one is your relationship with God. right? So we start out again this year with really focusing on getting our spiritual life right. We say it'll be the best year of your life, if it's the best year of your life spiritually this year. And so you need to hold on to that relationship with God, make good decisions, but then continue to hold on to that relationship, maintain that relationship, encourage that relationship. Number two is our other important relationships, you know, that we have. As I just mentioned, how important we believe that relationships are. This thing that we do here at Crosspoint is not a thing about religion. I don't believe religion saved anybody. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, right? And God made us for relationship. Of all the things that God created, when he said all these things were good, there was only one thing that wasn't good, and that was it was not good that man should be alone. We need one another. We're made for relationship. And so it's very important. And you say, well, that's really challenging because, you know, it's challenging. It's one thing with God. It's another thing with people. That's a real challenge to maintain those kind of relationships. I heard one woman said, you know, it's just hard. I'm about ready to give up. She said, I've decided that the only one that really I can maintain that relationship with is my dog, because my dog is the one that shows me unconditional love like nobody else. And, you know, that's really kind of true. Now, I don't know about cats, but dogs, sorry, cat people. I'm always picking on cat people. But dogs, you know, I got a new puppy in my house, right? I was a little late getting to church this morning because I had to find my other shoe. I mean, the dog had drug, you know, under some clothes. Anyway, those dogs, you know, they just wiggle, wiggle, especially puppies. I mean, they just all over. And I'm just, man, you just feel the love. But, you know, it is true, that unconditional love. Here's a way to kind of put it to the test. You just take your spouse and your dog and lock them in the trunk of your car. Come back an hour later and see which one is happy to see you. I mean, it's true. I don't really recommend you do that, but I'm just saying, okay, you got to laugh a little bit in church, right? So we're going to talk about holding on to God's Word. How do you hold on to God's Word? How do you turn that 21 days into 22 and more? I want to give you four things that will help you hold on. Number one, write this down. Make it the foundation of my life. Write that down. Make it the foundation of my life. And that means you have to do it. You have to make it foundational, meaning everything else in your life is built on it. You see, you don't always see the foundations, but they're there. The quality of the structure is dependent on the foundation you build. The quality of your marriage, your finances, your emotions, your life, your parenting is all contingent on how strong the foundation is. And we know this. God's Word needs to be foundational. We know this. And Jesus gives us a promise. It's found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. We all want to be smart. We all want to be wise. Here's what that he says that you'll do if you are, and that is he built his house on the rock. And so he's saying everyone that hears these words, so it's not just coming to church, but the one who works it into their life, who puts it into practice, is like a smart man, like a wise man who built his house on something solid. And the Bible even calls the Word of God, it refers to it as a rock. We sung about it this morning. It's foundational. That verse goes on to say that Jesus goes on to explain that there's going to be storms that are going to come. I mean, they're coming. They're coming this year. They haven't hit already. They're coming. Storms happen, okay? It's part of life. In fact, I get in the music, the weather people who have just a field day when there's a cloud that comes through in a storm. It's like major. I'm thinking, that's what it does. Well, guess what? That's what life does. Life throws us some storms. But he says that those that build on this, what I'm saying on my word, their house is still going to be standing. And if you don't, if you're building on everything else, then it's going to be swept away. And so it's really easy and even tempting to build your life on something else, on the wrong thing. So I'm going to give you four wrong things that you should not really build your life upon. Write this down. Number one, and that is popular culture. That's not a good thing to build your life on. It's this attitude, well, everybody's doing it. Can I tell you that the world is increasingly telling you, oh, now this is the way to go. Let me just point this out. The popular will come and go. Truth never changes. Hey, can I get a better amen right there? All right. The truth never changes. So we need to ask ourselves the question, how much of the secular do we really want to let into our life? I mean, how much of the popular, how much are we going to allow in our life? So there needs to be some decisions when we're watching television. There needs to be some decisions when we're listening to music and when we're going to movies and how much it's infecting me, because whatever you spend time on infects your life. It gets inside of you. Here's a verse that's found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, that simply says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. So we're not following the crowd. We're not going the way the crowd's going. We're going the way God's Word teaches us. That's got to be our navigation in life. Here's another thing that we should not build our life on, and that's tradition. This would may surprise you. But many don't have their life built on truth, but on tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition. I'm actually a very traditional person. In my private time, what's private time? Showering in the car. Okay, that's about it when you got a family, you know? But I'm telling you, you'd be surprised with the songs I sing. It's not the songs we sing around here. They're more traditional songs, some hymns that just come out. I'm more oriented to traditional songs. But we got to be careful, because sometimes we're hanging on to tradition at the expense of truth, where we think it's more important, our tradition. In fact, that's why oftentimes you get more of a fight over changing something that's traditional than something that's based on the truth of God's Word. Have you ever noticed that? That we're ready to fight about something that's changing, but verse, the Bible, oh, well, that can change. We can modify that. We can change that. Well, folks, we're changing the wrong thing there, right? So don't change my windows. Don't change my seats. Don't change them from pews to seats. Don't change my music. But you could change what the Bible says. There's some churches that have held on to traditions for 100 years, but yet they're changing the interpretation of the Bible. You're changing the wrong thing. And Jesus talked about it, and that's why it's on this list. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 8, he says this, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And again, I love tradition, but we just got to make sure and be careful with that. You know, if we have a certain song that we're singing, but we're not worshiping to it, that's something's wrong there. Now, if we're still worshiping to it, it's okay. You just need to make sure you're building on something that's solid and not something that the Bible never told you to build your life on. We need to be careful. We oftentimes, if we're not careful, we're worshiping to the tradition instead of Him. We're worshiping a form, and that's idolatry, instead of Him. So just something to consider there. So tradition. Another area that you should not build your life on, and that's the area of reason. Write that one down. Reason. For many, they're building on this, and that's this idea of, well, let me think it through first. You know, let me get my opinion on this so that then I can build my life on what my opinion is. And so we're building our life only on reason. You know, in other words, reason is simply saying, well, I've thought about it, and this is what I think about it. So, I've thought about it, and it seems right. I mean, it just seems right. And there's a lot of this going on even in, probably right now in church. You're listening to me. You're saying, well, let me reason this out. Let me put this up against my opinion and how I feel about this. So we got to be careful with this. And I challenge this one very strongly. You say, well, we've thought about it. And I mean, I know what the Bible says about it, but things have changed. And it just doesn't seem right. So, with all due respect, we have redefined marriage. We've redefined sexuality. We've redefined a lot of things that the Bible is not silent or unclear about. You say, but we say, well, I don't know about all this. Well, I've thought about this. Again, then we're basing our life on reason, our own reasoning, instead of what the Word of God is. Is the Word of God going to be authority for our life or not? Proverbs 16 and 29 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's going to kill you. It's not good. So we don't build our life upon reason. And anytime, listen to this, anytime you have a conflict between what seems right and what God's Word says, can I give you some advice, some good advice? Go with what God's Word says. In fact, that's why we all got in this mess in the first place in the garden. Right? The tempter came along and said, well, God didn't really mean that, what he said. And Eve said, well, you know, it does seem that that apple looks good. Okay, I don't know if it was an apple or whatever, you know, fruit. It does look good. It's going to make me wise. Seems right. Wrong. Mess. Still living in the mess, right? So we need to be careful with that. And so don't go with your own reasoning. Listen, go with God, because that's what makes him God. He's smarter. He's bigger. You can trust him. Another area is the area of feelings. Write that one down, feelings. This one is the most ridiculous one to build your life on. You know, if it feels good, or how about this one? Or if it feels good, it must be right. It just must be right, it feels good. Your feelings will, your feelings will lie to you all the time. I mean, like all the time. I mean, feelings are wonderful, but they cannot be trusted as a guide for your life. And for some, that's your theology. If it feels good, it must be right. But if you trust your feelings instead of God's word, I'm going to tell you, it's going to end up badly for you. It's going to end up badly. So I'm just saying, you don't need me to preach that to you. You can go out and try it. Go out and live it. It'll deliver that for you. And then chaos is just around the corner. Then you show back up and say, my life is a mess. And I was like, Yep, it is. Why? Well, you're just going on feelings. You're not basing your life on the foundation that's going to build a healthy struggle. A healthy structure. That's what I want for you folks. I want you to be healthy. I want you to fulfill the purpose fully that God has for your life. And so there was a chaotic book written in the Bible, the book of Judges. I mean, there's a lot of great stories in there, but there was a lot of chaos, man, a lot of drama. Anybody got drama in your life? They had drama in the book of Judges. And the very end of that book, we see this book. And the problem was in that time was they had no king, and they didn't want God as a king. And the last verse of that book sums it up in verse 21, 25 of Judges in the Message. It says, at that time, there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. Another version says, every man did what was right, seemed right in his own eyes. Just whatever feels right, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, let me know how that ends up. Is that working for you? So I'm just saying. Okay, I need to say this with a smile on my face. I don't mean to be, you know. I'm just saying. So the result of it is chaos. And the best way, I believe, to test ourselves, to see if we're holding on to God's truth, I'm going to give you two questions. You write this down. It's not in your notes. Number one, and that is, what do I do when I don't understand? Because there are going to be some things in God's word that you don't understand. I can't rectify that with my life. I don't understand that. When you read something in God's word, at that point, when you make the decision that God is truth, let God be God and every man a liar, when you don't understand, but you say, I'm going to follow God's word, I'm going to tell you, that's when your life will begin to change. That's when you become his disciples. That's when the truth begins to get inside of you, and that's the truth that's going to set you free and it's going to make life work for you. Good stuff? Amen. Amen. Amen myself. I'm just amen in the word of God, not me, okay? So, I mean, when I don't understand something, I'm going to agree with it whether I understand it or not, because he's greater. He's going to say things and do things that I don't understand. Well, that's the very nature of it. He's God. If he could understand God completely, what kind of God would that be? If he could fit in here, you would not want to serve the God that could fit in this one. I'm just saying. And some people have to feel like they have to understand everything about God to be able to accept it. They want to make God basically what they understand him to be on their level. I'm okay with not understanding everything about God. I'm okay with him being bigger than I am. He needs to be bigger than. There needs to be a lot that I don't understand about him, because if I could understand everything, he wouldn't be God. So I'm not making God in my image, right? Amen. All right. Okay. So I'm going to trust him. Here's another question you need to ask. What do I do when I don't like it? You don't always have to like it, but as a Christian, you have to obey it. So I'm not going to trust my feelings. So instead of adjusting the Bible to fit me, hello, I'm going to adjust myself to fit the Bible. I'm going to read this thing. I'm going to say, oh, wait a minute. That's not me. That's not this describing a Christian, but there's, I got out scripture this week and read the Bible verse of the day, and I said, oh, I need to apply this one right now. Tender-hearted and merciful, I was ready to bite somebody's head off. Y'all, come on, I'm keeping it real. So I got to say, okay, I don't feel like doing that one, but I'm going to do it. I need to do it. I better do it, because on the other side of that is life. On the other side of that is peace. So we need to trust God, and when we make that decision at that point, the foundation is being built for our life. Until you obey the Bible, here's another thing. Until you obey the Bible, you'll never understand the truth that will set you free. And the tragedy is that many people have never tried it. They hear it, but they never apply it. And when you apply it, I'm telling you, it will work in your life. It's like my son didn't want to eat green beans, and now he loves green beans. But boy, it was tears the whole time trying to get him to eat them. I mean, it was drama. I felt like I was abusing my son. Eat the green beans, you know. Well, now he loves it. I know, child abuse. I know. But we need to apply it. You will not understand your Bible until you obey it. And if you don't do this first one, the next three aren't going to help you. They're not going to do you much good. So we're going to make God's Word the foundation of our life. Look at the second thing. That is, make it the first part of my daily life. I'm going to make it the first part of my daily life. So I just want to challenge you with this. This is very doable. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. Come on, everybody say it. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these other things, the things that you need, things that you take care of your life, will be given to you as well. But he's saying, if you take care of this first things first. In other words, when you focus on God, God focuses on you. When you take care of God's business, when you take care of Him, you're after Him, He's then following after you, and all these things are going to chase you down. So this is the concept that I want to give you, and that is a concept of verse 15. Everybody got 15 minutes in the morning, right? Can you create 15 minutes in the morning? So let me break this down for you. In these first 15 minutes, let me give you what to do at the beginning of your day. First of all, take 5 minutes in the Word. 5 minutes in the Word. So, I would encourage you, get a reading program, get a plan, get a place, get a plan. Get a plan that has some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, some of the Psalms, some of the Proverbs. Take you about 15 minutes. If you want to read that, say, well, I don't have that. If you want to just do five, get you an app. Listen to God's Word on the way to work. Or just take a proverb. Let's take a psalm. If you don't have enough time for a psalm, then take a proverb. Take one verse. I'd rather you take one verse than it's not take any at all. But take something each day, partake of God's Word. Listen to God's Word on the way to work. Right? Listen. If you have an app, go to the App Store and download YouVersion if you don't have YouVersion. Listen to the Word. Come on, don't listen to CNN or Fox as much, all right? Listen to, in social media, listen to the Word of God. I'm telling you what gets in you. I'm just trying to get this thing in you. It'll change your life. And Psalm 119 says this, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If I put your Word first in my life, it's going to change everything. Another one is this. Take 5 minutes in the Word, and then take 5 minutes in worship. It's amazing what music will do. Some of you just need to listen to some music. Just put some good music on. It's amazing how music, the right music, will calm the savage beast. Does anybody have Pandora? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Pandora, you could go to different channels, different genres of music, and doesn't it change the mood? You know, I'm in 2017, but if I put that disco stuff on, I'm in 1979. So, and you're just there, right? Well, you put good worship music on, it'll take you somewhere. It'll change. It'll calm the savage beast. Some of you felt that when you walked in here this morning. You listen to, oh yeah, Jesus is the rock. I'm not worrying about that problem I got. He's my foundation. And you're listening to it, and it changes your life. And you sing about Jesus, and this just peace comes in your life. You know, because you were on the way to church this morning, and, you know, you're trying to battle the kids in the back seat. Get back there. You pulled your arm out this morning. Your deltoids are hurting because you're having a fight just to get to church. And you get to church. Jesus, yes, oh, this worship's changing me, right? Come on. Get in some worship because, listen, worship is powerful. Psalm 34 and 1 says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Get in some worship. 5 minutes of word, 5 minutes of worship, and then this one, 5 minutes of prayer. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray 5 minutes. I run out of things to say in 5 minutes. Let me help you with that. I'm going to give you an outline. It's found here in Scripture. Go to this next one here. In Philippians chapter 4, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So two things. Thank God. There's a lot of things we can think about. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for our job. Come on. Thank you for the doorknobs and the ceilings. Thank you for our house. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you. Thank you. And then our list. God, I need help with this. I got an appointment coming up today. I got a relationship problem over here. Lord, help me with this. Come on. Just spend 5 minutes alone with God and pray. And look what happens. Look what happens. And the peace of God, this is what I want for you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the circumstances may not have changed, but something on the inside has changed, will guard your hearts and your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a peace that will come when you do this. You say, well, how can this really change my life? I'm telling you, 15 minutes a day will change your life. Try it. Put it to the test. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. 15 minutes every day with God. And just go for it, right? So get in the Word, get in worship, and get in prayer. Make it the foundational first part of your day. Let me give you another one, and this is number three, and that's make it grow deeper in my life. Make it grow deeper. I say make it because you've got to do that yourself. You have control how much of God's Word gets in you. Colossians 3 and 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let it get deeper and deeper. Tanner, you with me here? To illustrate this, I'm going to have Tanner come up here and give me something that's going to help illustrate this point. So we need to get the word get deeper and deeper. How do we do that? All right. So I've got this glass of water here. And this is your life. This is you, okay? This is your emotions. This is your heart. This is your brain. It's all in that jar right there. And right here, we're in the South. We do jars. We drink out of jars in the South, okay? And so what we need is we just need a change, a little change. So here comes the Word of God. This represents the Word of God. We're going to dip the Word of God in. We need to take a dip of God's Word. So we put it in here, and here we are on Sunday morning. We're worshiping. That's good. That's good. We're hearing a little music, hearing a little message, and, you know, it's good. Good stuff. And so and then we're ready to go home, get dinner. And it changed a little bit there. You see, I mean, I don't know if we could really call that tea, but it has changed. Okay, it's changed. It's better than it was before. It's better than nothing, right? And, you know, heard a little sermon. Didn't change you much. Sorry, that's about all my messages will do for you. You know, it's not going to, you know, there's only so much it can do. Sorry, but, you know, there's only so much this kind of preaching is going to do for you. So then we take another dip. So we want to dip again. And what are those dips? I'm gonna take you through some of those dips here, what that means, but there's some other dips. And the more we get into God's Word, the more things begin to change. We do the 15 minutes of time with God. We we get into His Word, we get into worship, we get into prayer, and we're dipping more. We're getting into some other things. And look, it begins to change our life on the inside. And suddenly, oh yeah, it's smelling good. It looks good. Y'all look good now. You look good. You smell good. You probably taste good too. Of course, you in the South, you got to put some sugar in it. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Okay? Sweet tea. But it's better. It's improved. So what I need to discuss with you is how we can get more dips in your life. Okay? So let's talk about that. I'm going to give you some of those dips. Write this one down. Get a translation I like. We're talking about how to go deeper in God's Word. Get a translation that I like. Okay, you're talking about the Bible. The Bible was not written in English, by the way. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Greeks then helped with the New Testament, so that's why the New Testament is in Greek. And by the way, the New King James Version was written in 1611, and it's the old English language. Now, I revere King James. I'm kind of DNA King James. If I'm thinking of a verse, I just come out with King James because I was raised with King James, and I respect King James. Nothing wrong with King James. Love King James. But some people revere it so much, they think God spoke King James. They think God's from England. Folks, God wasn't from England. And so they think that when you pray, you got to use thou and art and those things, but it's okay. God understands when you don't use those kind of words, okay? He's not English, all right? So, so I want to give you three different types of translation of how the Bible was translated. Number one, there was a formal equivalency or an exact word-for-word translation from the original manuscript to this language. But the problem with that is language has changed, grammar has changed throughout time. 2,000 years ago, things have changed as far as the grammar changes. And so, but there's some examples of this. There's the King James Version, which I mentioned. Then there's the New King James, which is basically the same. They just took out the these and the thous. And then there's a New American Standard Bible, and then there is the English version there, English Standard Version. And so those examples of that. Here's another type of translation. Let me just give it to you quick, because a lot of people have a lot of questions about translations. They don't understand why all these translations. Then there is the functional equivalency, and this is called the dynamic equivalency. Because it's a little bit easier. It's still a translation of the original text, but instead of it being a word for word, it's a thought by thought. So they took the whole sentence and they put it in today's grammar. And examples of this is the New Living Translation, which I love that translation. I encourage that for a study time. A New Living Translation. There's the Good News. There's also today's English Version, and then there's the New International Version. The New International Version is really a combination of a formal and a functional equivalency, because they had 100 scholars that went through and translated this one. And so since 1987, it's outsold all the other versions combined. So that's a good one for a study Bible. It's just easy to understand. That's why a lot of times in our notes we put that here, because we think that's just easier to understand it. Most of our scriptures on your notes there are in the NIV. And so, and then there's another one, and that is the paraphrase Bible. So there is the Living Bible, example of that, and also the Message. And so this is where they didn't go back to the original text. They actually took the English Bibles, and they tried to paraphrase it in a way that people could understand. In fact, the Living Bible was written by a guy who actually didn't write it for public publication. He wrote it for his kids, so his kids could understand the Bible better. So if you want one for your kids that they can understand, there's the Living Bible, and it's a paraphrase. And then there is the Message. And the Message really breaks it down. You know, it's not very formal. You know, the formal, David says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go into the house of the Lord.'" And the Message is more like, "Dude, let's go to church. It's awesome, man. It's awesome." So it's different, all right? In fact, let me give you some examples of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, the King James puts it this way: "Charity suffereth long, and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not easily puffed up. Okay? Again, I love the King James. All right, I respect it. But it's just formal, okay? And then the NIV breaks it down a little bit easier for us. It just takes that word and says love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And then here comes the message. The message says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love and doesn't have a swollen up head. All right. So if you don't want a swollen up head, then you need to love. So that just kind of breaks it down there. And I think it's good. You could do for study. You could study with a formal. You could do a devotional with a functional. And you could read the message because it's beautiful and interesting to read. But get a translation. Let me give you another dip, and that is get a study Bible. Get a study Bible. And I want to encourage you. I know digital is great. I use digital all the time. But I'd say get a paper Bible that's your Bible where you know where things are. They say you can even retain it better and longer when it's a paper, when you've read this much and you got this much to go. It's just something about a paper Bible I think is good. I'm not saying you have to bring the paper Bible to church every Sunday. I'm not saying that. But I think you ought to have a paper Bible where you can just curl up and just read it, just soak it in. That's a good way to go. But a study Bible, let me give you a few recommendations for this that you can write down. There's a life application study Bible. That's a good study Bible where it gives the text, and then it will give you some comments on that and help you with some thoughts. And then there's the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible that's written by Dr. Hayford. Helps us understand New Testament. And then there's also one that I love called the Maxwell Leadership Bible. This church actually some years ago bought me one of those because they knew I loved John Maxwell. He's just a great guy for leadership. And it gives you a scripture and then how it kind of relates to leadership concepts. So those are some things that you can look at, but get a study Bible. Let me give you another dip. Here's a huge dip. Get into a small group. I thought I'd get a whoop whoop out of that. Get into a small group, all right? And if you don't know what to get into, in fact, you could join us today. We got a couple meeting today. We got one for a women's group, and we got a men's group that meets today. See, is that church? We'll tell you about that. And we're just going to get together, hang out for a couple hours, and just have fun. So you can actually jump in. The water's fine, right? Take a dip today. Do it. It's awesome. And I'm telling you, life is going to change. When you get into it, because it's one thing reading this, but it's another thing when you get into the dynamic of asking questions. I mean, some of our groups may not be necessarily curriculum-based. We've had disc golf groups and running groups, but when you're running, you know, and you're running along, you know, say, hey, man, dude, I was reading that verse of the day this morning. I don't have a clue what that means. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means to me. You know, I mean, but you're going to get into a relationship where, y'all don't laugh at me, all right, where you can discuss things, and it's going to change your life. So we're going to take a translation dip. We're going to take a study Bible dip, and we're going to take a long dip in the group dip, and I want you to notice what happened. While I've been talking, you're a glass of tea. You're not a glass of water anymore. It's got inside of you, and it is changing your life. Your whole identity is changed. You're no longer a glass of water. You're a glass of tea. Isn't it great? Don't hear somebody say, you're a glass of tea. Anyway, but your identity changed. You're not just reading the Bible. Now you're beginning to look like the Bible. You're becoming it. You're becoming, right? This thing is getting inside of you. And I want to tell you, the longer you steep, you become what you let into your life. And the Bible's fun to read. But it wasn't written just to be read. It was so that you would take on the nature and the identity of God's Word. Now you know it. It's part of you. It changes your life. Let me give you another thing that I think is going to help you here to hold on to God's Word. And that is, make it a weapon for the challenges of life. Well, that sounds a little militant there, doesn't it, Pastor? Well, the Bible talks about this. Because the fact of the matter is, we're in a warfare. We're in a battle. We're in a war. As long as you're on this earth, there's going to be some things you're going to have to do some warfare with. And you might as well be able to win. to win them, right? And the Bible tells us how. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the full armor of God See, that was my King James, the whole, okay? Sorry. Put on the whole or the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, it's coming. It's coming, all right? So when that comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And it talks about a lot of things that we're to put on, but there's only one thing that it talks about as being a weapon, and that is when it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it doesn't mean we're taking it viciously and getting in people's face and waving our Bible in their face, slapping people. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that there are times in our life we need to understand this truth, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, God's Word is an indispensable weapon. Jesus, where it records Him being tempted three times, had the same response each time. Look at it in Matthew. Look at it in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The tempter came to Him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And each time, for the three times that the tempter tempted Him, Jesus answered, say it out loud, everybody with me. It is written. It is written. Not, well, I don't feel like, well, what, no, it is written. And Jesus overcame the enemy, and so will you when you build your life upon and hold on to God's Word. It is written. So we need the Word of God to know how to stand up against the enemy. And we need to, I don't know how you are with memorizing verses, but we need to memorize some verses, put some things like in our quiver back here, you know, to have. So that when we're having financial issues, we remember Philippians that tells us, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. God's going to take care of me, right? Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed out begging bread. Amen, everybody? When somebody gets sick at home, we remember the Psalms that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives me of all my sins and delivers me and heals me of all my diseases. Amen. Well, so devil, take that. My kids are sick, you ain't having them. They ain't going there. This ain't going to happen. Like, we had something happen just recently in my family. My wife and I stood together and said, not on our watch, devil. And yeah, we go to the doctor. We're going to take them to do those right things. All right, we're practical. But we're going to believe God's word for them too. Okay? Amen. When we lack confidence and don't know what to do, I remember when I was young, I lacked the confidence. As a young minister, I'd get around these preachers, had their hair sprayed and their tie on just right and all that good stuff, and I felt like, felt like I hadn't showered in a month, and I got around them. You know, like, who are you? You know, it just wasn't them. It was just the way I felt. Didn't have the confidence. I need to remember that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 6. It says, I am competent as a minister of the new covenant, not because of the letter, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Not because of the degree of preparation or school, but because God is with me. Amen. He's called me, right? So we need confidence. When there's fear that comes up against us, remember Psalm 27, one that says, the Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Come on, right? When we're under attack, remember Luke 10 and 19. It says, I've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and I've been given power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Scared some of you people started talking about snakes. We don't have snakes here. Just letting you know. We have authority, though, all right? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. Romans 8:37, I am now more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Come on, get you some word and just know you have authority through God's word. It is the authority in your life, not your feelings, not your emotion, not society, not what the world says. It is the authority in your life. The Bible describes the devil, he comes as with fiery darts. Now think about this, fiery, you know what darts are? Darts are those little tiny things that and they have a fire on the end of them. So here's the devil. He doesn't have the courage to get up close to you. You know, he's back here going, bing, bing, bing. And it's so easy for some of us to let those fiery darts land. Bing, bing, bing. He hides behind this and that. Bing. I know y'all think I'm crazy. Y'all come back next week, would you? I'll be normal next week, maybe. And the Bible says, what do we have to defend ourselves? We have a sword. It's about this long, so you're going to have to get about this close to the enemy for it to have effect, right? So he's back here firing stuff at us from a distance. We got to go up to him and say, hey, not on my watch. Boom, boom, it is written, it is written, it is written. Take you some, get you some of that, right? I mean, you got to fight. I was having a day just the other day. Talked to my sister in Florida, and I said, I'm just real discouraged, you know. In fact, I don't want to use the word depressed, but, you know, it's starting to move into that category. And my sister preached me a sermon. She could preach a sermon. She said, don't you dare go there. Don't you let the enemy discourage you. You're doing a good job, blah, 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 blah. She just started pumping me up, you know. I heard of one guy, he said, Bob says, encourage yourself in the Lord. And so he actually made a tape. Y'all know what those are, little cassette tapes back in the day. Recording himself when he was really motivated and he was preaching to himself. It was Tommy Barnett, pastored First Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, Tommy Barnett, you're doing a good job. You're the man of God. You're called. You're appointed. You're anointed. God's with you. And he said, so when I would get down, he would die. He said, I just take a tape and play it back at me, hear myself, encourage myself in the Lord. Anyway. But I'm serious. We need to take the Word of God, take it for what it is, take it as our authority in life. Get a verse for everything that you face, right? I mean, there's a verse for going to the dentist. Crown him with many crowns. No, that's not in the Bible. Sorry. There is a verse, though. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Let me give you the ultimate weapon, and that is Scripture memory. Memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Take a verse a day. Don't feel like, you know, if you do the one Bible, get behind. I got to really catch. Just take the next one. It'll be there next year when you get there. Don't get under bondage. Just eat every day. Just eat every day. It'll change you. You are who you eat. Let me give you this one verse in closing. This is my prayer for you. It's found in Psalm 119, and you need to read Psalm 119. About a 20, 25-minute read. Every verse in that chapter deals with the Word of God and the power of God's Word. But look at what it says here. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? How can you hold on to really what true life is all about? Look what it says. By living according to your Word. And then look what it says. I seek you with all my heart. Come on, you got to go all in for this thing to work. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And then it goes on to say this. I have hidden your word in my heart. Now it's inside of me. Now it's inside of me. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Bow your heads with me for just a moment in closing. Today, you may be listening to this, hearing about connecting to God, hearing about how to connect to His Word, and you may feel this morning that you are really far away from God, or certainly not where you should be in your relationship with God. And you feel even perhaps the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where you know your life is not really looking like how you know God would have your life be. You know God wants His best for you. In fact, His Word is all for you. Even the commands, every command is not for Him. It's for you. It's for your life, to make your life better. But I want to encourage you today. If you're far from God, maybe you've never been close to God, or you have been, but you've drifted, you're not where you need to be. I want to encourage you today to make a bold decision to come back to God. Make a commitment today. And that commitment is done simply by praying a simple commitment prayer, which I would love to have the honor of praying that with you. If you're here today or if you're watching online, pray this with us today. Whether you're live or it's recorded later, the prayer is still live. But let me just say this though. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just simply, where you're seated, right there, want to pray with you. I just want to lead you in a prayer. But today I want you to be bold. I want you to make a decision and say, would you include me in that prayer? And by doing that, just while you're sitting here, heads are bowed, just lift up a hand and you can put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Yes, good job. So proud of you. Yes, good job, good job, good job. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray together. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. All you got to do is mean it. It's between you and God. God's going to come in and God's going to begin to put things in order and foundation of your life. Going to be a life that's going to be amazing. I'm telling you, your future is not what your past looked like. God's got a new future for you. So let's pray together. But here's what I want to do. I want everybody in this place for support. I want us to all pray this out loud. And if you're here today and you need to pray this, whether you raised your hand or didn't, pray this with us. And God will honor your prayer. Come on, let's just pray something like this. Just say from your heart, say, Lord Jesus, today, thank you for all you have done for me. Forgive me for putting things in my life ahead of you, not making the best decisions. Today, I come to make a decision for you. I ask you to come into my life. I accept that you died on the cross for me, paying every debt for me, and providing for me everything I'll ever have need of. So today I accept what you did for me. I accept you into my life. Come in. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Help me to follow you now, all the days of my life, as I hold on to you, as I make you the foundation of my life and everything of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray it. Thank you for the peace of God now. Thank you, Lord, day by day, step by step, for the path of peace that you're going to lead them in. It's not going to be perfect, but you're going to be present with them. And you're going to give them an amazing grace, an amazing peace that they've never known before. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. I pray, God, that your word would increase day by day. God, help them to get into a church, get into a small group. Go all in, follow you, seek you. God, we'll look back and say, oh my goodness, how amazing my life has changed because I'm following Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now. I celebrate them, Lord. I celebrate their decisions. And Lord, I pray for each person in this place. God, help us to build our life upon you, Lord. And may our life never be the same. And God, we pray that you not only just bless us for the sake of blessing us, God, but make us a blessing everywhere we go. We'll give you all the credit, all the praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for the best decisions made in people's lives today. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.